Yes.
Welcome, everybody, and welcome back. If you're rejoining us, I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Just a reminder, at 5 o'clock, very special hour of The Maggie Dawn Show planned. We are going to be breaking down the rhetoric of the right. Specifically, I'm going to take on all of these claims from folks that I'm just taking Charlie Kirk out of context. He's not actually a racist. Yes, he is. And I'm going to prove it to you this afternoon. Piece by piece, we will break it down. A whole hour devoted to the rhetoric of the right and showing you why it is a bunch of fallacy, distraction, lies, misdirections, and frankly, bait and switch with emotional appeals that make people largely feel afraid and attempt to divide us all when we really have far more in common than what divides us. So do not go anywhere. Tell all of your friends and family, maybe that crazy uncle that you have to argue with at Thanksgiving, to tune in so that they can, you know, hopefully have their eyes opened and their hearts opened a wee bit as well. But it is 4:30. It is Wednesday, and that means it's time for Broad Appeal here on The Maggie Dawn Show. I'm super excited to be talking with the candidate for Wisconsin State Assembly seat in District 21. She is a social worker and a disability rights advocate. Welcome to The Maggie Dawn Show, Jessica Seawright. Congratulations on launching your campaign last week.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here and so excited to run for Assembly District 21. For those of you listening, that's Oak Creek, Milwaukee, and Greenfield in southeastern Wisconsin here.
It is, I think, one of those districts that will be a very, very close election in 2026. Very purple, folks of all different political persuasion from that district. Why, given the clear passion that you have as an advocate, as a social worker, helping people, why make this turn and decide to run for office, especially given the political environment that we're in right now, which is so nasty?
Indeed, right? Like, a lot of folks have asked me that to help me prepare. And let me tell you, this in District 21, the last election, when the lines were redrawn, we came within 900 votes. So this is definitely a campaign to watch. Please keep in touch with me, JessicaSeawright.com. Why did I turn my eyes toward running for office? It came through disability rights advocacy, working with Senator Chris Larson, Representative Christine Sinicki, Representative Gwen Moore, Tammy Baldwin, Chris Murphy, right? I have been in good company over the last 6 months, working with Protect Our Care and other organizations who are fighting on federal, state, and local levels to get the message across. And let me tell you, that's been a vulnerable space, because as a mother of a child with complex needs, you are telling your story over and over and over again in the hopes that someone will listen, that someone will change their mind and understand what your family's day-to-day looks like. And let me tell you, my family is purple, right? Yeah. At the dinner table, we don't agree on everything, but we love having dinner together. We're family. And I'd say the same thing about my neighborhood. You know, and one thing, the reason why I'm running for office is because I think there's this perception that there are givers and there are takers. And let me tell you, I've been doing therapy. I've been doing social work research. I work with a ton of providers, teachers, doctors, aides. And let me tell you what, there are not only givers and there are not only takers. We are all a little bit of both across our entire lifetimes. And it is time for our legislators to see that, to hear that, and to understand our complexity so that we can move forward together.
Folks, again, that is Jessica Seawright, candidate for Wisconsin Assembly District 21. I love how you frame that up. This is a debate that I find myself in with folks very frequently that divides the world in that false dichotomy of makers and takers, which works well for folks that are quite conservative to paint the world in such a way, but doesn't actually lead to the sorts of meaningful policy improvements and changes that we need to actually help all working families who, at different times in our life, I think if we're all being really honest about it, we've needed help. We've needed a lucky break. We've fallen on harder times. And those that live in the blissful world where that has never been their situation, yes. you are the rare exception. Talk to me a little bit, Jessica, about some of those policy changes that you think are essential to make sure that things are working better for working Wisconsinites.
Definitely. So if you jump on JessicaCWright.com, you can read more. I'd love if you got to know me. I'm looking to open doors and have conversations. That's why I jumped in here this month, more than a year out from the election, so that I have time to get to know the issues on a more specifically. So roughly where I'm coming from, what I've heard in sessions for years with clients, in community work, in the work that I've done as a family member, as an advocate at the state level with the long-term support waiver, what I'm looking at is safety.
Tell people what that is, Jessica, if they don't know what the long-term support waiver is.
Sure. So I am currently serving as a parent representative. There's a long-term support waiver in Wisconsin. And what that does is that operates in tandem often with Katie Beckett Medicaid waiver. It's funded through Medicaid, and it allows families to receive ancillary supports, or those secondary supports that really help us to make it, to help us to not go into bankruptcy. You see, when you have a kiddo who has extra needs, you might need support with widening your doorways. You might need assistance in modifying a vehicle in order to transport your child to their appointments. There are many needs that creep up, and that program steps in and makes it affordable for us. Let me tell you that there is a parental support payment that's calculated based on income. And that makes it possible for us to give back too. So there you go again. We give and we take. We give and we take. And it opens doorways for both my spouse and I to work, you know, through the pandemic. So that's what the long-term support waiver is. And, you know, on my website, you'll see that I talk about safety, being serious about safety. I talk about healthcare, keeping healthcare accessible for families like mine, for communities like ours, housing and education. And I would just say that these, you know, I think if I was in the same room with y'all, we would know that these are intersecting. Right. These are not separate issues, right? So Medicaid is putting some funding into schools in order for speech therapists to jump in the room and help kids be able to communicate more clearly. Why is that important? Because then kids feel less frustrated. And their behavior is maybe more in line with getting a cohort of 25, 35 students through curriculum each day. That's why that's important. There's healthcare, there's education talking. We're talking about housing, so social determinants of health. We know that when people have the things that it takes to live stably, our communities are more predictable, our communities are safer. We can go and have a meal with our family and feel a little bit more calm in life. So I just wanted to draw out that these are interconnected. But the reason I come to Serious on Safety is because I'm a social work researcher who has worked in criminal and juvenile justice for about 15 years since my master's in social work. And so I've sat in rooms with folks with young kids that are in secure care, with their families, doing interviews. I've presented to judges to talk about, hey, here's what the research says about this particular treatment. It is worth offering as a sentence, or it is not worth offering as a sentence. So I think I can bring a level of complexity to really hold and understand folks' lives as they are, not as we are trying to create them, which often ends up being a binary.
Yeah, so much there, Jessica. And I want to just reflect where you ended, which is understanding where people are at, the actual contours of their lives, and the context and nuance and complexities that abound for people that have had significant challenges, whether that's intersections with our legal system, the need for specialized care, if you've got kiddos that have those kinds of challenges. And it's striking to me, and I know you heard me talk about the fact that I'm going to be talking about Charlie Kirk starting at 5 o'clock. The screaming about context for understanding Mr. Kirk, who was a multimillionaire with a platform that reached tens of millions of people, and yet in that same breath, no extension of context or a willingness to see complexity for folks in our very own communities facing far greater challenges than Mr. Kirk ever faced. And then secondly, I just wanted to reflect back to you, the four things that your campaign is built around: safety, healthcare, housing, and education. These are completely nonpartisan things. They Correct. Are what every single one of us needs to survive. And when we have them in more stable environments, when we have them in greater abundance with easier access to them, that's when we can not just survive, but begin to thrive. These Yes. are the building blocks of making sure that we all can really succeed to our highest potential. They are things that all of us want and deserve, and that the richest country in the world should ensure that every resident and citizen has access to. Tell me Yes. a little bit about, again, not just your journey as a social work researcher, but some of the stories that you've experienced, Jessica, the personal stories, because I think sometimes folks that study this stuff, we end up in our academic lingo and we forget to tie it back down to these very real experiences of families and people in our communities.
I could go on for so long, but I'm just gonna talk you through a day, just a single day that I've had in the past year. So I would be driving up to my son's public school. He goes to a public school, and look over at the bus stop, and there's a dad with three kiddos who jumps off of the bus, gets his kids out of the bus, the public, you know, the Milwaukee Transit bus,
yes,
gives them a kiss, wishes them a good school day, and then goes back to the bus stop to wait so he can get back to go to work. I'm walking towards the school and I'm seeing the teacher shovel the walks because they're having a hard time getting that maintenance worker on staff. We have parents fighting for parking spots. They're stressed, going to work, trying to get their kids into school on time, trying to get to work on time, right? Not being able to say hello to each other because of the amount of pressure we're all under. I'm getting to work and I'm talking to a client who's really nervous about losing his Medicaid. He's left the justice system. He's doing really well. And he's telling me about using the last few bucks he has to buy a sandwich for someone that's sitting outside of the Pick and Save. I'm working with kids who are managing trauma that they have been through and working on getting back into school, building a love of school, building connection with their family. You know, there's just story after story. You know, my son works with caregivers with AIDS, and oftentimes their stories are quite complex as well in terms of they are doing the hard work. Yeah. And then they go home, they feed their children, and they're caring for them too. And then they start over and over. And these are the families that need us to understand that these policies should be clear and straightforward for them.
Yeah, folks, so much to discuss here. Debunking the mythology about makers and takers. I am with candidate for Assembly District 21, Jessica Seawright, social worker, parent, problem solver. We'll be right back with today's yes. edition of Broad Appeal right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, everybody.